Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Last week in our study of Revelation chapter 3, we were taught that God wants Christians to be both hot and cold, hot on fire for the Lord, and cold, refreshing and edifying our fellow saints in Christ. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, we've been using the letter W to outline this letter to the church at Laodicea. And so far, we've seen verse 14, who the authority is. And in verses 15 through 17, what the changes are. We saw the general charge of lukewarmness with the specific charges of being wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, keep it in mind that the lukewarmness, as opposed to cold or hot, the hot referred to the healing springs in Laodicea that would heal the sprained or broken area. And we as Christians are to be healing springs by bringing the lost to Christ and the backslider to restored fellowship with Christ. And we are also to be the cool, refreshing waters as we share the word of God to saints to edify them in Christ. And being both cold and hot helps us to fulfill the Great Commission. And by the way, God would not say, I would thou wert cold or hot, if he meant that cold was a cold, dead church. God would not that you would be cold and dead. No. By cold or hot, he meant, I'd like it to be one or the other, preferably both, but at least one or the other. And that's the idea there. He hated the sins of the church at Sardis. It was a dead church. Didn't mean cold is dead. It just meant a dead church. And coldness here looks at that person that is edifying. Now, as we continue this thought on lukewarmness, he said that these are the marks of lukewarmness. But now, he gives us the next W in verse 18 is the wisdom to do right. He tells us what we ought to do. He tells us what shouldn't be. Now he tells us what ought to be. And so here we have the counsel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're told, first of all, we're to buy of him gold that is tried in the fire. Now, gold tried in the fire reminds us of Hebrews 12:29. For our God is a consuming fire. He must try us. As Psalms tells us, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, refined in fire is the most expensive refined gold. The psalmist said after asking God to search him, which is equal to being tried in the fire, he then adds, lead me in the way everlasting. That is equal to the text saying that thou mayest be rich. Take that gold and make it a necklace. Make it a ring. Make it something of honor to you, dear Lord. Now, the fire purifies as well as refines. We are now talking of purity and holiness. It is not just reformation or turning from evil. It is also that process that adds the value of his life to us to only increase into eternity. My friend, God wants to lead you in the way of righteousness and true holiness, as Ephesians 4:24 tells us. And you don't reform to be right with God. You come to God with a repentant heart, and He'll reform you. His fire must be used to refine. You see, you want Him to make of your life eternal gold. Some of you listening today have a portfolio. You've built that for years. You've done this to prepare for retirement. Now, some people who had the same income did not live as well in retirement as others because they simply did not prepare. During the years before retirement, the guy that has a good portfolio didn't do as many things and didn't spend as much as the other guy. And it may have even seemed like he was missing out at times. But staying focused on the goal, he finished quite well in this area of the portfolio and retirement. And my friend, that's what we're looking at. This calls for you as a Christian to be willing to go through the fires. Keep your heart set on the goals of eternity. If you believe in everlasting life, then why not lay up for it, just like the man with the portfolio lays up for retirement? He believes that it's coming. And my friend, these people laying up in their portfolios, believing that they're going to have a retirement, a good retirement, may have something like the economy falls out and all the retirement is gone. Or they might be killed instantly and never enjoy any of the fruit of that portfolio. But what you lay up for Christ will be enjoyed for eternity. Don't be saved just so as by fire. There are several verses that come to mind. I think of 2 Timothy 3:12, where it says, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You'll go through the fire. I think of Matthew 5:10-12. There we read, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Folks, as a pastor, I know what it is for people to say false things about me. I know what it is to have people leave the church because someone has spoken against me. And they've spoken all manner of evil against me. They've lied about me. And I've got to admit, it really bothers me sometimes that they cause not only themselves to leave or to take that stand, but they've influenced others that way. And that bothers me. And yet, I'm told here that people do that, and you're standing on the truth, rejoice, be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. You're building up your heavenly portfolio. And a portfolio that cannot go bad by a depression. He said they persecuted the prophets which were before you. So those ought to be things that ought to suffice us to live with eternity in view, so that we live in accordance to the Word of God. Don't miss what you should do. Ask God to show you what needs removed in your life. Then ask God to help you to remove it. Then follow this up to ask God to do what is necessary to make you be what He wants you to be. Don't focus on the persecution for righteousness' sake, but focus on Jesus Christ and His righteousness via the Word of God. And this is the counsel that we're receiving here in verse 18 when He says, "To buy of me gold tried in the fire, this is the right investment to make." A man that I know personally was telling me that when he got saved, He realized, as soon as he had asked Christ to save him, that he should start reading his Bible and going faithfully to church. He said, "Brother Andy," he said, "I knew the moment I got saved that I didn't like doing either one of those things. I didn't like going to church. I didn't like reading my Bible. He said, I just didn't like doing either one." And so he said, "I got right back down on my knees and I asked God to give me the desire to go to church and to read His Word. And I asked Him to help me do it faithfully. And I can report to you, I've known the man now for, well, over 25 to 30 years, and he has remained faithful." There are many drunkards who know they are drunkards, yet they will not want to give it up. I was witnessing to an alcoholic, as they call themselves, a drunkard, in Pensacola, Florida, one day, and he was sober at the moment, and I was talking to him. He said, "I'll tell you," he says, "when I get done doing what I'm doing right now, and I get paid for, I'm going to go buy a bottle. If I don't have a bottle, I'll probably drink shaving lotion or whatever else has alcohol in it." And an alcoholic or a drunkard will not want to give it up. They realize it will take more strength than they or a program has. And a person can get into a program and yet just fall right back. But in Christ Jesus, there's complete deliverance. When I first started the ministry, most of my preaching was topical. Then God started laying on my heart to preach expositorily, that is, verse by verse. I didn't understand at the time, but I just had that strong impression that's what God wanted me to do, so I did it. Now understand, my topical sermons were bathed in Scripture, and they were strong in scriptural content and kept within context. So I didn't really understand at the time. Well, here it is, 10 years later, after that time that had started, and the Lord impressed it upon me to start a radio ministry. And I had all these well-outlined notes of various books of the Bible that I had already preached, but could be re-preached for radio. And God showed me why He had laid something on my heart 10 years earlier to do. I only had to obey it. We do not always understand God's will, but we know that it will never contradict any part of the rest of the Bible, and that He only will do what's best for us. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.